Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
When you think of Christmas, what do you think about?
I think about cookies, Christmas, presents, busy, lots of extra work.
I had a revelation this Christmas. I told Joe, I said, I have a revelation. I said, women carry Christmas.
It's amazing he finally got that. I don't know how he missed that.
I can't speak for every man, but if I was doing Christmas, we'd go to Raising Cane's. I'd probably get a bag with maybe some tissue paper in it and a gift. It'd be a lot simpler. But Christmas really is about connections. And we alter schedules. Some of you are here because you're connected to somebody. I mean, we saw the marks out in the parking lot where you were drug in here, so we understand that connections make a difference. But we also connect on different levels. We connect with teachers and coaches and people that do hair and neighbors, and then we connect even on a higher level with people like
family, friends,
loved ones. Mm-hmm. And that can make Christmas, it can make it very pleasurable.
Or it can be very painful, too.
There was a father, had a big Christmas gathering, and everybody was around the table, and he said to his six-year-old, he said, "Sweetheart," he said, would you say the blessing for us? And she looked at him, she said, "Daddy, I don't know what to say." He said, "Sweetheart, just say what you hear Mommy say." And she bowed her head, she said, "Dear Lord, why did I ever invite all these crazy people into my house?" There's a lot of things that go on. You know, there's giving on a different level. And the stronger the connection, usually the more valuable the gift. I didn't give Joy the same gift that I give the postal worker.
I was really glad for that.
Yeah, because I like staying married. And so stronger the connection, typically the more valuable the gift. But when we think about Christmas, that very first Christmas was all about God's connecting with us. You see, God's always wanted to connect with His creation. And mankind, He always walked and talked with Adam, but Adam in the garden severed that connection when he sinned. And so God was looking for Adam.
You know, a couple of years ago, I was looking in Genesis and where Adam and Eve are hiding because they sinned, and God comes in the garden and He says, "Where are you?" But for years, I always thought He was saying, "Where are you, Adam?" And just in an angry, agitated tone, like, "I knew you'd do this. Where are you?" But I thought, what if God's tone was something like, "Adam, where are you? This is our time that we walk and we talk together. I'm longing to be with you. Where are you?" And that's a whole different tone of God's voice, I really believe, to us.
You know, when you see in the Old Testament, you see all these sacrifices and ordinances, and a lot of times people don't understand that. But it really is a perfect God connecting with a sinful man. And that was the best He had. But He had a better plan in mind. And that better plan we start to see take place. It begins with the Christmas story.
"Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of a great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'"
I appreciate the message of the angels. They start with, "Don't be afraid." Fear has plagued mankind ever since the garden, but it never was God's intent. He never wanted us afraid. And then He says in a very succinct, a very powerful phrase, "Good news of great joy for all people." The Bible's not given to hyperbole. Great joy, all people. He says, for there's born to you this day a Savior who's Christ the Lord. A Savior, not a baby. He said a Savior is born to you this day.
And not just a Savior. Jesus is also known as Emmanuel. It's God with us. And who's with you makes all the difference. In a couple of years ago, there was a British couple that went on a vacation to Spain. And so they rented this villa that was on the ocean. Now, the villa had a garden and a gate, and beyond the gate was the seawall. And they had an 8 and 9-year-old little boy that loved to play in the garden, and he was mesmerized by watching the waves crash up against the seawall. So he'd go out there all the time and watch that. One day, he opened the gate, and he thought he would sit on the seawall to watch those waves. And when he did, a rogue wave came and hit him and took him in. Now, the father saw it from an open window in the villa, and he went running immediately, and he's crying out and going, "Someone help me, is anybody here?" But there was no one around to help him. So the father jumped in the waves, and tragically and sadly, both of them, neither one of them made it. Later, they interviewed the wife and the mom, and she said this, "I know even if I was present," because she wasn't here, "I know what would have happened. I know what would have happened because my husband, he couldn't swim. But I know he would have jumped in. He would have wanted to be with his boy. He wouldn't have wanted him to be alone." And when I think of that, I think of the love of a father jumps in. And the love of the Father God took on flesh and jumped into our world, a dark world of sin, a dark world, wherever it is. God jumps in to be with us so that we're not alone.
Not only did he jump in, but he rescued us. He was the one that rescued us from sin.
Yeah.
And God reconnected with mankind through Jesus. And no longer was there that big gap, because Jesus was the only one who could pay the price to reconnect to God and man. So also in that gift, you see God's valuation of what he thinks about us in the gift, because he gave his very best. He gave Jesus. Now, when it comes to the Christmas story, a lot of times people connect on different levels. To some people, it's almost like a fairy tale. It sounds really sweet, but they don't really believe it's true. To others, it's simply a tradition that you do at Christmas time. But for many of us, it's a life-changing reality. And what really began to change that was, and we can see that in Mary, and see the example that we see in Mary. And so she's probably the one most connected with Christmas. Because when the angel came to her, he gave her a message of exciting news, and he also changed her perspective.
Now, in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God."
The message to Mary was that God saw her, God was with her, and that she had actually found favor with God. Now, what's interesting in this story is the Bible said that Mary was troubled, not by the presence of an angel. Usually when angels show up, they always scared everybody. Mary wasn't troubled by the presence of the angel. She was troubled by what he said. She was wondering at his greeting because, in Mary's mind, she didn't see herself the very same way that God saw her. God saw her as special. Now, we look back on her and think, oh, she's so special. That's not how initially she saw herself. And God's telling her, "You're favored. I'm with you." And Mary believed that message. She believed the message of the angel, even though she didn't fully understand everything about it.
And she says this. Mary says, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Again, we have the privilege of being able to look back. We can see what's going on. And we go, oh, yeah, sure. Angel came, said that you're going to have a child. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's all going to be great. And we go, oh, wonderful. Great story. It had came at a great personal risk to her. To come up and try to explain that to people, that wasn't going to work. And to be an unwed mother at that time was frowned upon. She had the risk of losing a marriage. She had the risk of being ostracized by her family and being shamed by her community. But Mary believed. She believed anyway. And 9 months later, we had Jesus. But before Mary heard the message that she was going to carry the Christ, the Son of God, she heard a message that she was valued by God.
It's amazing what happens when we're valued and we feel like someone loves us. We approach them. And I'm reminded of a time I grew up in a single-parent home, and my dad left when I was just a couple weeks old. So my mom was always looking for some place for someone to watch me. And I often stayed with my aunt and uncle, and they lived around the block. And my Uncle Leo, I loved my Uncle Leo. I would see him in a room, and I'd run and just sit on his lap, and I wouldn't leave him alone at all. I was that kid. You know, I was like, I just want to stay with you, Uncle Leo, whether you really want me here or not. And sometimes my mom would leave me there on the weekend, and she's like, oh, Uncle Leo's still sleeping. And I'm like, okay. I just waltz right into the bedroom, and I would actually, it'd be about 3 or 4, I put my nose on his nose, and I'd say, good morning, Uncle Leo. It's me. I know you're so happy to see me. And then I would open his eyes. Are you sleeping? And I remember him closing his eyes, and I remember a smile on his face. And I just remember loving him and hugging him and feeling so safe and secure with him. Years later, I'm a young adult, and I'm talking to my cousins and or his children, and I found out Uncle Leo was like a very fierce man. He was given to all kinds of angry outbursts. His kids were afraid of him, and he pulled a gun on people a couple of times. I was like, wow, I knew there was mafia in my family, but I wasn't thinking it was Uncle Leo. But my impression of him was he loves me, he values me, he wants me near him, so I'm going to be with him. And when we think of God that way, that he loves us, he values us, we want to be near him.
It's easy to approach him. Mm-hmm. I didn't have an experience with Uncle Leo, which is probably why I'm still alive today, but I... When I was a sophomore in college, I dropped out of school and went to Florida, actually fairly close to Joy, and went down there. And I was dating a girl, and she decided to bring me to her parents' house. And for some reason, I have no idea why, parents didn't seem to like me. Don't comment. Anyway. And I stepped into the foyer. They invited me in the house, and we were all standing there. If you've ever been in those situations where you're all standing really close and nobody's saying anything, they're kind of staring at me, it was like incredibly awkward and uncomfortable. And I'm uncomfortable, and they had a little foo-foo dog that was at my feet, and I just reached down and picked the dog, scooped him up, and began to pet him. And as soon as I did that, the whole atmosphere just changed. And the dad's like, come on in, and invited him into the kitchen. We sat down, we talked, we chatted. Talked to the mom. Everybody was real friendly. And the parents left the room. And the girl looked at me. She said, I can't believe you did that. I said, did what? She said, you picked up Montage. I said, who? He said, Montage, the dog. I said, yeah. She said, no, you don't understand. Nobody can pick up Montage. Nobody in the family. He bites everybody that picks him up. I'm thinking, well, I'm glad she did not tell me. Because if I'd have known that the dog would have bit me, I wouldn't have picked him up. If you think God's against you, you'll stay away from him. But if you think he loves you, if you know he values you, it makes all the difference in the world. How do you connect with the Christmas story? How can that become personal with you? There are actually 5 verses that talk about Mary that really give us a great pattern for that.
Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name.
How you can make that Christmas story personal for you? First thing is, believe that God sees you and he values you. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes people hear that and they go, I don't know, Alan. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know my history. Listen, this is not a function of your perfection. This is a function of His love and His nature and His goodness toward us. Mary knew that.
I love how Mary says, she says, He regarded the low estate of mine. I think one of the most painful things we experience in our lives as people are to feel unloved, unnoticed, pushed to the side, uncared for. And yet, she felt that too. She said, He regarded me. He regards us. He notices us and sees us and loves us when no one else does. He does.
Second thing you can do is believe God's message in the Scriptures. I wish I could tell you an angel is going to appear to you, but the chances are pretty slim. But instead of the voice of an angel, the voice of the Scriptures. It's an ancient book, but it's written on a spiritual level, and it still speaks to us today. And the voice of the Scriptures is actually louder than the voice of any angel. And we can say with Mary, it's one of the best things we can say is, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the last one, maybe for you, you've found maybe your connection with the Lord has grown dim over the years. I'll tell you, one of the best things you can do is magnify Him. We magnify the things that we talk about, we think about, and we focus on. And I realize this is a very disjointed season, a lot of things going on, but maybe take some time during this Christmas season to stop and go, Lord, I believe you're still a mighty God. I still believe you can do great things, and I give you praise, for you are awesome and good in my life. When I was 10 years old, my parents put me on a Greyhound bus and sent me to a basketball camp about 3 hours away. I don't know if Greyhound and bus stations, I don't know if they've gotten any better, but in 1970, they were pretty sketch. And I'm on that bus, I'm by myself, a camp counselor picked me up at the bus station. I went to camp for a week, and then he took me back to the bus station and dropped me off. I'm 10 years old. I had those big, if you can imagine, this is 1970, you got those glasses. None of them were attractive. They're just big, dark rim glasses. You could use them as a weapon if you had to. And they were, I had a pillow. I was a skinny little kid with a pillow. And I was afraid I was going to miss the bus. And I know I got nervous. I overthought it. And when I went to the window and asked the lady, when does the bus leave for Greensboro, North Carolina? She said, honey, that bus left. You missed that bus. As a 10-year-old, I can still recall that just sinking feeling in my gut. That feeling of having no friends, being disconnected. Nobody knew me. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, why didn't you pick up your cell phone and call? Because this was right after electricity was invented. This was a long time ago, people. There were no cell phones. I didn't have any money. I ran out of money. I spent it all on candy and junk food at the camp. I had no money. And I remember begging an elderly man who looked like a grandfather if he would give me a quarter. And with the quarter, I went to a payphone. Now, some of you will need to Google that, but there were these phones that you had to actually put a quarter in, a payphone, and I called my parents collect. And when I heard my folks pick up on the other end of the line, I made that connection and it brought a sense of peace. Not everything was perfect yet, but I made that connection with my parents. And they told me what to do, and they actually called the bus station to make sure I got on the right bus. I think sometimes you feel like, and some of you may feel like today, you're disconnected from God. He's just a long way away. Maybe you were connected at one point. Maybe you never were. But this Christmas afternoon, I got a quarter for you. I got an answer for you. We're going to say a prayer, a very simple prayer. We pray it all the time here at the Ark. But it's a prayer that connects you and the one who loves you more than anybody else, connects you and your Savior. Would you bow your head with me just for a moment? Those of you who know it, if you would pray it with us, those of you maybe that you're sensing, I need to make this connection. This is for you. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Now the heads are still bowed. Let me just pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for those, some who made a connection today for the very first time, some who reconnected. And Father, those who have known you and walked with you for a while, I pray for them that you would continue to do mighty, you're mighty and you can do mighty things in their lives. And I pray that this upcoming year, your grace and your goodness will be poured out, that 2026 is their best year yet. But we thank you that you're good and you always will be good. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.